Thank you so much for coming into the studio today. The state decided to close the hunt for Mulchatna caribou. Can you talk a little bit about how the Department of Fish and Game came to that decision and why they came to it now?
Absolutely. So we've known about the population decline for a while now, but it took time for us to take further action. The first action we took was immediately we wanted to reduce the harvest limit so that we could reduce some of the pressure on the population and then also begin to troubleshoot some of the suspected problems, if at all possible.
And that happened in August?
Correct. We closed or reduced the limit in August after the hunt had already opened and after we had our official estimate for the population. We didn't feel it was appropriate to do anything beyond the one animal reduction because we felt it was really important to go through what's called public process. You know, bring in members of the community and get their perspective, their buy-in, their input before taking any further action. And for the state, that's super important because we operate under something called the public trust, which requires us to go through this process. And this is a hunt closure. These are decisions that we're making that can affect thousands of rural residents in western and southwest Alaska, not just the people coming in from Anchorage and other places throughout the state to hunt this herd. But there are people that rely on this population for their livelihoods. Before we made any sort of decision that could drastically affect them, we wanted to collect more information and talk to more people.
Okay, so Mulchatna caribou population is down at around 13,500 animals. What was the public input on the closure that the state received?
So for the most part, people were supportive once they knew about the status of Mulchatna. It was surprising to us and to a lot of people that even at the Nome Board of Game meeting, there were a lot of people that had no idea that any changes to this hunt had occurred, which is extremely surprising given the amount of information we feel we've put out there. Once people were brought up to speed, they were mostly supportive. But of course, we did have some opposition, and that's certainly expected, especially from communities that, again, really need this resource or only very rarely have access to it. And so it's an important opportunity to them and their existence.
I guess, what has that dialogue been like between the state and those communities?
So the dialogue has mostly been people will call us and be like, what's going on? What is this all about? When people trust us to manage this resource for them, to go from hearing that the herd is steady, it's doing well, to we are well below our objective is disconcerting. And so we appreciate that and we respect that.
So where is the department looking to go from here? What are the next steps? Are there any plans to reach out and work with local communities in terms of management decisions or, you know, management in the coming months?
Absolutely. So one of the reasons we waited until the end of this month to close the hunt was we really felt it was necessary and important to come up with a solid plan, not just a biological plan for Mulchatna, but a plan to reach out to the public and continue to really hammer home this message of what's going on with Mulchatna and how they can be part of the solution. Before closing down the hunt, we determined that we needed more biological and harvest information to make sure we weren't just using a single point of information on the herd to make this decision. So in the last several months, we've been flying extra flights to understand adult survival. So that's survival of our animals that have radio collars. All of that information takes time to collect, which is why, again, we had those several months while the hunt was still open collecting this information to inform more on the biological side of what's going on. But then in terms of reaching out to the communities, we developed and are continuing to develop communication plans. We really felt it was important to provide an update and receive more input from the Board of Game, who serves as the regulatory body. This week, we've sent out postcards to all P.O. Box holders regarding the closure of this hunt and some information and where they can go to look up more information. We have various technicians calling all of our tribal council offices and asking them to disseminate the same information. Moving forward, we are working not just out of the Dillingham office or even the regional office, but with the other two regions who are part of the Mulchatna's range. And they will be going ahead and also contacting various communities and going out and doing village visits that we will also be going out to do. And also, they will be participating in some of the biological surveys as well.
We've talked before about how the cause in this recent rapid decline of the Mulchatna's population is not really known. Are there any indications of what could be contributing to the herd's size?
At this point, no. It took a while to get to this point, and so it's going to take us a while to understand how we got to this point. We're spending over $1 million right now on caribou alone through research and management activities to understand what's happening. So different things we're looking at is, again, like I talked about, adult survival, but continuing our calf survival studies and looking more at movement and movement patterns, information that we haven't been collecting throughout the year in a while. We are now collecting once again. It's tricky because when things are in a state of decline, there's a lot of interest to conduct this sort of work. But when things are stable, you know, we kind of start getting lax or the funding's not there for us to do this kind of work. So we're not monitoring throughout the year, which is unfortunate.
Looking at that, I guess the fluctuation of the Mulchatna herd, it's a herd that has been so dynamic over the decades. Its numbers range from, you know, 18,000 to in the hundreds of thousands,
right,
in the mid-90s. What does that context tell us about where we are now?
So you just brought up every caribou biologist's major frustration, because this isn't just Mulchatna that fluctuated like this. This is all caribou populations exhibit this sort of population dynamic at some point in their history, whether it's our recent history, our understanding of it, or several hundred years ago. So you talked about or mentioned that, yeah, the population was in the hundreds of thousands and then in the 90s. But was that sustainable for that population? No. And that's why the decline wasn't unexpected and it wasn't unnatural. We just went from 200,000 animals, which we reached very rapidly, again, for unknown reasons. Why that population decided to skyrocket over such a short period, no one knows. But it's a normal factor of caribou biology. So as it declined, it was expected. We recognized, okay, management decisions are going to have to be made eventually to reduce maybe some of the limits on how many animals could be taken to prevent the population from declining below what we would like. And so as that population declined, it never settled around a stable number like it should have. And that's sort of where we are today. It declined and then didn't stop. It just continued. And that continuation is the big question.
Fish and Game's population objective is now 30,000 to 80,000 caribou for the Mulchatna herd.
Mm-hmm.
How is that number reached?
That's a great question. So when this value was come up, when it came up, it was as the population was starting to decline, right? It was still very large, but it was declining. And as that decline began and occurred, the population objective was redefined to this 30 to 80,000 animal value. This was derived or discussed by the Board of Game during one of the cycles, and it was based on the long-term population information we had to that point. So you have to think about, we had an extreme high of 200,000 animals in the 90s and maybe early 2000s. But before that, the information we had really only began in the 1960s. So you're talking about a 40-year period's worth of information, which is it's a long-term data set, but that isn't the entire history of Mulchatna. But so based on that, what we can call a brief blip in history, that's how this 30 to 80,000 value for the population was reached. And currently our analyses and our plans are evaluating if this objective is still appropriate. We now have 20 years after that period worth of information mm-hmm. that gives us more insight into how this population naturally works. And whether this objective is still relevant or reasonable must be reevaluated and is.
Well, thank you so much for coming into the studio. I really appreciate your time.
You're welcome, and thanks for having me.